was told that he would come, and the race he would run, it would end on an old rugged cross. But when they laid him in that tomb, the power of the Lord came in that room, and now he reigns forevermore. He's coming back someday. He'll take us home with him to stay, where his glory forever we will share. And when that first trumpet sounds, we will all be glory bound, up there to live forevermore.
Have your Bibles, the book of Exodus chapter 15. I believe somebody's here that needs to hear these words. I've enjoyed being in the house of God today, and you just pray that the Lord had just put us a sensitive, discerning spirit upon the service today, that we might eat from his table. I believe that he has something to feed us today. Verse 22, so Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them, and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. The scripture says that he's Jehovah Rapha. He's the Lord our healer. I want to look at that thought, the ministry of Marah. And I pray that the Lord would open this text to our eyes like we've never seen it before. Father, We thank you for the good word of God. It has fed our soul this week. Now, Lord, what you've shared with us and what you want said today, enlighten us. Give us the God-given ability to speak what you'd have us to say and nothing more. Lord, I ask your help in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe there are five things in this passage that the Lord would have us see. First of all, I want us to see the marvel of Mara. Historically, Israel has been in bondage over 400 years. I believe it was exactly 430. And they cried out to God, and God raised up a deliverer, and his name was Moses. And Moses stood before Pharaoh many times, saying, God says, let my people go. And finally, there came that last plague, where Israel was to take the blood of a lamb and put it upon the lintel and the doorposts. And God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. That night, that plague of the firstborn killed thousands and thousands in the land of Egypt. But all those that had the blood upon the doorposts were saved. In Exodus chapter 12 and verse 37, the Bible says the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot that were men. What about that? 600,000 men, not counting the children or the women. Maybe around 2 million Jews. 2 million are leaving Egypt. And a mixed multitude went up also with them, flocks, herds, and even very much cattle. The Bible would tell us that they came to a place and the Lord, he would hover over them by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And the Lord was leading them through that cloud. You come to Exodus chapter 14, and the children of Israel came to the Red Sea, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened and he pursued them. And we know that God did a great thing, didn't he? He opened up the Red Sea and the children of Israel, 2 million people, marched through on dry ground. And when the Egyptians decided to pursue, God closed those waters down and drowned the entire Egyptian army. We've heard that all the way back from our Sunday school days. In chapter 15 and verse number 1, the Bible says that then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. There they were, if you may, they were on the sunny banks of sweet deliverance. And they were singing praises. God has delivered us. We are no longer in Egypt. God has been our salvation. And there they were, shouting it out on the banks of the Red Sea. But salvation is not the end, is it? Salvation is just the beginning. As they were in that place shouting and praising God, and I love to get in a good shout and praise in God's service, don't you? But I found something that's so far beyond that. It's called worship. While they were singing praises unto the Lord, Moses saw the cloud move, and it started moving them towards the wilderness. Moses stood up and said, up and let us follow the Lord into the wilderness. Can you hear some of them as they said, no, we like it. We're not in Egypt anymore. We're on the sunny banks of sweet deliverance. We're having a time. This is a good place to stay. I'm happy here. Moses said, God's moving. Let's follow him. The Bible says that Moses brought Israel up out of from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. The word brought up means they moved their tent pegs. There's some of you, you got saved, hallelujah. You've got your tent pegs driven in that place. And God says, that's good, but I've got so much more to show you. I've got so much more for you. And so he leads them into the wilderness of Shur. The Bible said that they went 3 days, 3 days without water. Can you imagine? 2 million Jews, the flocks, the herds, the cattle, no water. You're not going to go long without water. Can you imagine how dangerous it is to be in the wilderness, but the wilderness is even more awful to endure when you're thirsty. And they were looking for water. Israel followed the Lord, and the cloud came to a place called Marah. I can just see some of them saying, there's water there. There's an oasis there. And they run down. Can you see some of them? They cup their hands and they throw that water up into their face. And they're so excited that they've got water. And can you see they were, I can just see them carrying their little children and carrying their older ones and bringing them to that place. And as they get that water and put it up in their face, they spit it out because it's bitter. It's nasty. I mean, I see the marvel of the ministry at Marah, because they came to this bitter place and they do not understand why. They're in the will of God. They're following the cloud as He leads them. They have certainly been serving God. He has saved them. He has delivered them. They did not choose this bitter place, but God has led them here. Why is this happening? Nobody's singing now. Nobody's shouting and praising God now. They're in a bitter place. They're thirsty and they have nothing at all to drink. They're astonished. That's why I say there's a marvel of the ministry of Marah. I'm talking to somebody here today. Why is this happening to you? Why have these events taken place, taken shape the way they have? Aren't you asking that question? Lord, I thought I was following You and I got a bad test result. Lord, I thought I was trusting You. There's cancer. Lord, I thought I was trusting You and I've lost my job. Lord, I thought I was trusting You and it just seems like the rug has been jerked out beneath me and I think I'm going to fall. You would have never thought you would be in this place. But I promise you this, you're going to encounter some Marahs in your walk with the Lord. When Jesus was baptized, it was a pinnacle moment. The Spirit fell, descended upon Him like a dove, and the Father spoke from heaven, "This is My beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." The very next verse, He was led of the Spirit into the wilderness. I can tell you about the disciples who were out on the land there, and Jesus fed 5,000 men, not to mention the women and the children, out of a little lad's lunch. And the very next verse, He said He told them, He constrained them to get in the ship and go to the other side. He led them, and they got in a storm. I can take you in the book of Acts, Paul and Silas. They didn't know where to go, what to do. And a man in a vision appeared to them. The Macedonian call, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." And they gathered assuredly that the Lord had called them and sent them unto that place. And when they got there, Lydia got saved. And they were so excited. And then they got locked up. They were beaten and arrested and thrown in a jail cell. And their pain was very real. Why is this happening? I'm telling you, for somebody here, you're marveling at Marah right now. You are in a bitter place in your family. You're in a bitter place in your life right now. And you don't understand, how did I get here? Number two, I want you to see the mirror of the ministry at Marah. The mirror. I can just imagine as they got down to drink that water and as they looked and they tasted it was sour and they looked, they saw themselves. Now let's look at the mirror of Marah. God will allow bitter experiences to come in your life to be a mirror for you, to show you who you really are. Let's see who these Israelites really are. They're saved. They've been shouting. They've been singing. They're having a time there. Let's see what they say now. Verse 24, "And the people murmured against Moses, saying, 'What shall we drink?'" Let me tell you something. You can murmur against the man of God all you want to, but in reality, you're murmuring against God Himself who led you and brought you to this bitter experience. And the mirror ministry is God is showing you what you really are. You are a griper. You're a criticizer. You're a complainer. You're a murmurer. Your faith is little faith. God's trying to develop you at Marah to have great faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Can I give you a verse of Scripture? Listen to this verse. Proverbs 27, verse 19. Will you listen? "As in water, Face answers to face. You see your affliction. So the heart of man to man. Your heart will reveal who you really are when you get in the bitter place. Have you ever been in the bitter place and you just said, oh God, why have you done this to me? Why? And you begin to murmur. And you begin to complain. And every little thing that doesn't, I'm talking some of you, you get bent out of shape if your toaster burns your toast. Mara will either make you a better Christian or a bitter Christian. I see the mirroring ministry at Mara. What do you see about yourself? It is inter-revealing. I understand that this bitter place has no interpretation. I don't have an answer for you. I don't know why currently you're in that place. It has no interpretation, but it has an inter-revealing. It shows who you really are. Number three, I'm trying to preach quick. Number three, I want you to see the molding of Mara. The molding. Moses is under pressure now. Not only is he thirsty himself, but now 2 million Jews are breathing down his neck. They're putting pressure on him. And they begin to complain against him. What shall we drink? Moses, can you hear them thinking? Moses, why did you lead us here? We were happy at the Red Sea. We were delivered. We were shouting. We were praising. We were having a time. Why have you brought us here? Why have you got us involved with these different aspects of ministry? We don't want that. That's not what we want to do. Mara will teach you how to pray. Are you like me? Do you do your best praying when you're in trouble? Hello? Can I get an amen? Amen. Preacher, it's true. Look what Moses did. And he cried unto the Lord. Mara caused Moses to be dependent upon the Lord. He looked to him. I want to say to somebody here today, don't you quit on God. Don't you blame God. Don't you turn back. You just find a place to call on his name. You surrender to him. Moses said, Lord, you brought us here. We've been 3 days without water. Lord, they're going to kill me. I'm under a tremendous burden. What am I to do? My hope, my faith, it's all in you. And you know what God did? He answered him. Mara will teach you to pray, and you'll know this, God will answer. The scriptures very definitely tell us in the book of Jeremiah, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And God answered Moses, and look what his answer was. His answer was, the Lord showed him a tree. What kind of tree? A dogwood? A palm tree? A sassafras? A sycamore? I believe he showed him the cross. I believe he showed him the cross, which leads and speaks of Calvary. I believe it speaks of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Moses is being molded to pray. And Moses is being molded to say, everything I do in my life, it needs to be about Jesus. Everything. Number four, we see the miracle of Mara. The scripture says, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. Now, I don't know about this tree. I can just imagine. My imagination runs wild. I can see, and I almost brought a tree in here and did it. Can you just see a tree? Maybe, I don't know what kind of tree, but if you bring a tree in here, Moses saw that tree standing, and it represented the cross. Can you see him as he had to cut that tree down? He cuts that tree down. Sap coming out of that tree. The Bible says that he took that tree and he cast it into the water. I almost feel the baptistry full this morning. I almost took a tree and cut it down and throwed it in the baptistry this morning. And you'd have looked at me and said, our preacher has lost his ever-loving mind. He's going through a bitter place. He's going through a hardship. And if it wasn't bitter enough, the preacher's lost. He's went crazy. Look how mad he is. Look how upset he is. He's out there chopping at a tree. He's so mad. And he cuts a tree down and he throws it. Boy, look at Moses. Ain't that some kind of leader? He's throwing trees around. But I believe Moses was just being obedient to what God told him to do. I mean, preach, hey, Moses, the water's bitter enough already without you throwing that tree in it. What on earth do you think you're doing? But here's what he's saying. You need to apply Jesus to your bitter place. And if you'll take, I mean, my Bible says that the captain of salvation was made perfect through suffering. Suffering. Our Savior went through a bitter place himself. And it made us perfect to lead many sons to glory. We see the miracle of Mara. He cast that tree into the waters. And the Bible says the waters were made sweet. Can you see Moses as he got his container? He throwed that tree in the water and they said, the man of God's lost his ever-loving mind. Moses gets his container and he bows down there by the water that's so bitter. And he says, I'm going to drink it. Takes his container up and it's as sweet a water as he ever had in his life. He said, boy, that was good. He dips in it again. Says, oh, man. And they start seeing the man of God worship. They start seeing the man of God be blessed. They start seeing the man of God get filled drinking that water, amen. And one of them says, ooh, I think I'm going to try that in my bitter place. He goes down there and puts his container in by faith. That one that had tasted the bitter waters before, he dips his container and he went, boy, this is not so bad after all. This is pretty sweet. Hey, the Lord knows what he's doing in your bitter situation. If you'll look to Jesus, he'll turn your bitter, sour experience into something sweet and fragrant that he might be praised and worshiped therewith. I believe the Jews got so excited. Oh, can you see the excitement? I mean, revival came. They all had something to drink. What a miracle it was. Number five, and I'm done. There's a message then at Mara. There's a message at Mara. I believe every ministry ought to have a message, and Mara does. What is it, Preacher Darren? Don't bog down in bitterness. Don't bog down in bitterness. Read with me. There he made for them a statute, had an ordinance, and there he proved them. And he said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. This is what he's saying. You believe me to open the Red Sea for you. You believe me for a water miracle there. When you get into the bitter experience of your life, when the waters are not what you think they ought to be, and you want to back up, I'm talking to somebody. You're backing up. I'm not going to do it. You just go ahead and keep fuzzing up on God, and you find out how it turns out. God sent me here today to tell you that you better not bog down in your bitterness. You better get past it. You better put your container in. He's already got the bitter waters ready to be made sweet. You just apply Jesus to your situation. It's going to turn out all right. I promise you that. He said, I'm the Lord. I'm the Lord that healeth thee. If I can part the Red Sea for you, can't you to believe me to turn your bitter waters into something sweet? Amen. Hallelujah. Help me, Lord. This is what I think he's saying. You can't handle your bitter place. But God has said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. I'm not just going to heal the waters. I'm going to heal you. Woo! I like that, don't you? It's not in the water. It's in the individual, amen. I can make the bitter waters taste sweet. Bless his good name. I'm the Lord that healeth thee. Let me give you some verses. He said, I'm Jehovah Rapha. Psalm 147:3. He healeth the broken in heart, and he bindeth up their wounds. Have you ever had a broken heart? I'm telling you, some of you got hurt at church. Some of you got hurt in your family. Some of you got hurt at work. You're going through a bitter place. You've been hurt. You've been wounded. I mean, when we shake your hand, it's all you could do not to want to spit it out. You're so, so vehemently upset about something. But you need to look at Jesus and see how he suffered and how he bled and died and did not open his mouth and turn that bitter experience into something sweet. He said, he's healed my soul. He saved me. He's healed my body. Psalm 41:4, I said, Lord, be merciful unto me and heal me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. I'm the Lord that healeth thee. What a blessing. Now here they are. Are you with me? They have found out that God has the ability to take the bad and make it good. Well, just take time out and shout right there. The God I serve can take the bad and make good out of it. You go tell the devil it's in the Word of God, and I'll drive him crazy. Amen. So here they are. They're having a time now at Mara. There's a ministry there. They've learned about themselves and a lot about the Lord. My Bible says in verse 27, and they came to Elam. You know what I believe happened? They got down there at Mara and they began to think, you know what? This has been a bitter experience, but God has blessed us. I mean, there can't be anything better than where we are at Mara. There can't be anything better. And Moses looked, he said, look, the cloud's moving again. You're not meant to stay at Mara. Though it may be a bitter experience, turn sweet. God's not left you to stay at Mara. He said, I just want you to learn about my power. I'm Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Now I want you to follow me. Keep coming. Keep coming. And they begin to follow him. I'm asking you a question and I'm done. I believe God's done with me. Are you going through a bitter place in your family? Are you going through a bitter place in your life? I mean, news has not been what you thought it would be, even what it should be. You've never been in such a place as you are right now. Are you going through a bitter place in your Sunday school class? Are you going through a bitter place as you come in the house of God? As you work, are you in a bitter place? Why don't you let Jesus get in your bitter place and turn it sweet? God has a ministry at Mara for you. I know it's a bitter place. I know it hurts so terribly, but he can make it sweet. Who is it needs to come today? Oh, I've murmured, I've complained. Preacher Dan, I'll be honest, I've had a hard feeling. I've backed away from the sweetness of the fellowship with the Lord. It's not what it was. You need to come. I'm telling you, the best thing you'll ever do is humble yourself before him. Call on him.